God bless everyone here this morning. I really appreciate your prayers this past week. Like Brother Darrell mentioned, I was able to go to minister's meeting and the trip went very well. Thank the Lord. And I just ask that you continue to pray for the ministry there in a very special way for the bishops. I was probably my eyes were open a little bit more this past week of all the things that they go through and all the I don't know what to call it, but just they need our prayers. They really do. So continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for us as ministers. We will do what we need to do as far as listening to God and continue to work wherever God has planted us. Well, as we already mentioned, there's no secret of what's happening this week. Be revival meetings, right? And I don't know what you think about revivals. And I don't know if you're excited or if you are maybe thinking about all the busyness that brings. Or I don't know what you're thinking about revivals. So I just want to encourage us all to be in prayer for this, like Nehemiah was. Nehemiah even fasted, and I hope that one day I want to preach about fasting, but that's not the title this morning. And if somebody else gets inspired to preach about that, I'd be glad to hear. But I always wondered what would it be like to have 2 weeks of revivals. They tell me that in the past days they had 2 weeks of revivals. And it's been in modern history that we only have 1 week. Well, I didn't really try this, but I'm gonna find out. Gonna have revivals here this week, of course, and then the following week I'm supposed to preach revivals at Winchester. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that this is back to back, and I don't know how this is gonna happen, but I'm gonna trust on God, and I ask for your prayers for that as well. So I'm fixing to find out what revivals are for 2 weeks. So whenever we're done with those 2 weeks, I'm hoping to be very revived. Well, maybe you don't have to guess, or you can guess, but yeah, you probably can guess right on the money what I'm thinking, what I've been thinking on the last couple of days. But it is simply revival. Who needs revival? Do we need revival? Why do we continue to have a need of revival year after year after year? Is revival meetings a good thing? Well, those are some things that you can think about it. Some other questions I've been running through my mind. Why do we need revival? So I'm going to give you this message. I don't know if I'm going to preach this message at Winchester or not. But it's an introduction to the week, to revival. What is revival? The dictionary has this definition. It's an act or instance of reviving. The state of being revived, such as, letter A, renewed attention or interest in something. I thought that was pretty interesting. A renewed attention or interest on something. Letter B, a new presentation or publication of something old. Letter C, a period of renewed religious interest and often highly emotional evangelistic meetings or series of meetings. And I hope, of course, that we can go beyond a big emotional week. I'm looking forward to having Brother Phil here with us. And here, this morning, I'm just going to put an acrostic here on the board of revival. And I'm going to make a point for every letter. So we're going to start right here. Make sure I'm planning ahead. I don't run out of room right on it. Well, I should just at least start with the first one.
And I know you, this is probably going to be a little simple, but I hope that it can be a blessing to all of us. Let's do it like this. Get a different color here. The first one. Reflexive. I would like to think about it. You know, I'm thinking about why do we need revival? What is the benefit of having revival? Do we need revival? I already mentioned those questions to you. And reflection. This can be a time for us to consider a matter. That's what reflection means. Consideration of some subject matter, idea, or purpose. Not long ago, I preached a message about endurance. I told you that one of the things that we need is to keep the eye on the goal. The main goal. That's a purpose. And it's a time of revival can be a time of reflection. You stop and think. Stop and think. And I don't know if you noticed this. I know Brother Leroy mentioned the verses there in Acts 27. And if you want to turn to there, you're welcome to go there. I'm just going to mention four verses that they omitted in our Sunday school text about these men, these sailors that were with Paul. And they're in Acts 27, verse 26 through 29. It's just part of the story. It says, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." In other words, they suspected that they were close to it. And he says in verse 28, "and sounded." Apparently they have some kind of device that they were sound. How deep it was is what I'm taking. I'm not sure. Is that right, Brother Leroy? "And he found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." And you were probably scratching your head and saying, what in the world does this have to do with reflection? My simple point is that these men were thinking. They said that we're suspecting that we're close to land. So they start trying some things. They had devices that helped them determine how deep the water was. And of course, they were heading the right direction. And they were scared of hitting some rocks. So what did they do? They did something about it. That's my simple point is that they were considering a matter. They were thinking. They were reflecting. They were acted upon what they thought. We want to get there safely. So they say, we're going to hit some rocks. We need to do something about it. They discuss it. And somehow or another, they decided to throw some anchors and just wait for the day. And maybe we can see some other things there. Ecclesiastes. Not long ago, I read the book of Ecclesiastes on my Bible reading. And it's just interesting to me to think of Solomon thinking. Just reflecting life. He says he tried this, it was vanity. And he tries everything. He discusses just about every category of life that you can imagine. And he found that everything was vanity and vexation of spirit. But then at the end, after all his reflection, he gives the conclusion of the matter. And that's what I love, the end of the verses there in Ecclesiastes. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil." So as we go through these week of revivals, can I suggest to all of us that this can be a time of reflection? Can we stop and think, where am I going? Am I accomplishing the goals that I have for my children? And sometimes those visions, those goals get blurry with the heat of the moment. But it's time for us to stop and think, where are we going? Now, you know me, I'm preaching to myself. I can go day to day and whatever comes out, comes out. But we need to stop and reflect. The things that I'm doing, the practices that I'm doing, how are they affecting me? How have they affected me in the past? I mean, you can throw a cell phone in there. You can throw news. You can throw whatever your habits are. Are they taking you where you want to be? So this time is a time of reflection. Think about it. Maybe you're suspecting that something is wrong. Well, can we learn from the shipmen and let's throw something in the water and see how deep we are? I hope you get my point. The second point I would like to make, we're going to go to the board here. Another reason why we need revival. And to me, this is probably one of the most obvious reasons why we need to schedule revivals year after year after year. It's because of this problem here. Entropy. And this is a scientific term, but I forget, you can read more if you want to. I'm not here to teach science, but it's simply the degradation of matter and energy in the universe to an ultimate state of inert uniformity. In other words, it's a process of degradation. In other words, things get worse. Or running down, or a trend to disorder. That's what entropy means. Now, can you try to explain this concept to an evolutionist? This law of thermodynamics, which I don't even know what that is, but it's one of the proof that we have against evolution. I mean, how can you expect a world, a sunset so beautiful, the sea, the storms, the hurricane, something powerful, something beautiful. I'm thinking of things beautiful. But how do you expect something like that to evolve something bad, to evolve to something good? It never happens. Think about everything around us. Think about a building. What would have happened if 40 years ago, I forget what year this church building was built, but let's say it was built 40 years ago, and nobody cleaned it ever since, nobody mowed the grass, nobody turned the lights on, nobody turned the air conditioning on, nobody trimmed the trees, nothing. It was built 40 years ago. Can you imagine what would it be like? I really doubted that it would exist. Some time ago, there would have been probably a big tree that have grown for 40 years, and they have fallen on the roof, and they have sprung a leak. We probably won't have a building. And even 40 years ago that somebody kept up with it, we still need to fix it. My point is that everything, you can imagine whatever you want, always goes downhill. And children, I brought something to show you, to prove my point, that everything goes downhill. We're going to put a bicycle there. Somebody found it at the dumpster. Now this bicycle, once upon a time, it was shiny. It was brand new. Okay? The tires were pumped up. The rubber was white, very white. The seat had the color on real pretty. The handlebars were not gray and black. But you know what happened? Somebody, now I imagine, because I don't know who took it to the dumpster. Okay? I know who got it there, from there. But somebody left it go. Possibly under the rain. They left it under the rain. They left it under the weather. Well, you can see the pedals over here are rusted. They can hardly turn. The chain is rusted. The wheels and the inside there are rusted. The seat, well, the cover is falling apart. It's rotted. The handles here are kind of ugly and sticky. There's rust everywhere. And of course, the tires are flat. They're probably not even a tube in it anymore. I don't know what happened. Maybe the children, that's why you need to take care of stuff. You have a nice wagon? Well, keep it that way. Keep it under the shelter. You have a nice bicycle? Keep oil on the chain. Stick it under the shelter when it's going to rain. Rain is very hard on bicycles. Well, especially on all those moving parts. Well, I'm not going to teach you about bicycles, but do you get my point? My point is simply that whenever we think we let things go, they go not go to worse. And our spiritual life is no exception. Hebrews 2 verse 1 says like this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Here in Hebrews, it said, if we don't take the more earnest heed. Now, I don't exactly know what that is. The more earnest heed. But I can imagine that is full attention. That is all diligence. With all thy strength. With all thy heart. With all thy soul. If we don't seek God's things. If our spiritual life is not panting after God and seeking after God in this way, you know what? There's going to be things that are going to slip away from us. That is entropy. It's an established principle that you leave something abandoned, it's going to go downhill. If we don't put oil in, if we don't change the oil in the vehicles, we can ask Wendell what's going to happen. If we don't check, I don't know what else to do. To give you, but you know, machinery, service, you need to service it. Everything will go downhill. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. So this week we need revival, because if we don't take heed to the things we have heard, we're going to lose them. And I'm just amazed at how quick I forget things. Do you remember what the preacher preached about last revival meetings? How about the year before? How about that previous year? It's only 3 years ago. Do you remember that? Well, we still have to scratch our heads and think, who came? Worse yet, what he preached about. Now, I do remember when Brother Ernest Glick came, because that was easy to remember. He preached about the seven churches of Revelation. Right? And last year we have Brother Dennis. Well, my point is, we need revivals for reminders. If not, things go to worse and worse. That's why I take notes. That way I can go look back and see who preached and what they preach about. Well, 2 Peter 1 verse 10. I'm going to read verse 10 through 12. Wherefore, thou rather, brethren, give diligence to make you calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I can't help but think of Peter, the man that Jesus said, you're all going to be offended to me tonight. And Peter said, no. Even though everybody will be offended, I will never be offended. And another gospel says that he even said he was willing to die with him. A couple hours later, then he said that he forgot what he said. And I can't help it, but think of Peter, an old man by this time, I imagine. He is talking to these people here. He wrote it down and he said, I am not going to be negligent to remind you of these things. Because he knew that we are humans and we forget things. And he said, I'm going to remind you of these things. We need to be diligent. And I don't have time to expound on the rest, but you know the scriptures. Jump to chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stirred up your pure minds by ways of remembrance. If you have heard something this week, I don't know what Brother Phil is going to preach. Nobody gave him an assignment, and that's a beauty of calling somebody from outside to come in. He don't know us. He don't know what we need. He don't know that we're broken. But he is going to preach. And there might be some things that you say, well, we just heard that. Well, that's okay. It's a reminder for us. Here it says, by way of remembrance, jump down to verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, I don't know what people with a once saved, always saved theology do with this verse. But Peter knew that there is a potential for entropy in our Christian lives. If we let things alone, we will go downhill. They're not going to stay where they are. They become a state of degradation. In other words, they go downhill. And he said, I'm going to remind you because I don't want you to fall away from your steadfastness. So, do we need revival? Yes, we do. If not, things will go from bad to worse. Now, the third word here. This is a word that we probably don't use very much, but it's vivification. And it is an English word. I mean, it would be easy for me to say, yeah, in Spanish it's very close. But to vivify means like this, to endow with life or renew life. Life. To impart vitality or vividness. It's a derivative. No, it's not derivative. I forget how to say it. This is close to it. You know what I mean. Derivative. In other words, derives from a Latin word that is vivus. I'm just going to write it here just for your interest. Vivus. And the Spanish for life is vida. And to be alive is vivo. So vivificar to me is a... It goes together, the Latin and the Spanish and everything. And of course, we have, thank the Lord, we have that word in English as well. To vivify. Some synonyms or some words that mean close to the same is to mean energize, to enliven, to invigorate, to juice up. And not like this one, to jumpstart. What do you do in a dead battery in your vehicle? You need to go to town and get groceries. What will you do? You jumpstart it. Because the battery was dead. I don't know how you feel about this coming week. Revival. Are your batteries running low? Maybe some of our batteries are even broken. Right? But we need vivification. I don't know why that is, but I guess it's for point number two. It's probably why we keep needing some energizing. Or some more jump-starting. It seems to me like once we get energy, we should have it maxed out all the way. But don't work that way. We keep needing to get our batteries recharged. And we need to be energized. And that's what vivification is. Does God want to give vivification? Or does God okay with you just dying slowly? No. Listen to what he says in Acts 3:19. Says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I just found it so interesting to look the Strong's definition for this word. And it means properly a recovery of breath. Figuratively, revival. It gives me an idea of somebody that is on a hike, steep mountain, walking and walking and walking. We're hiking up the volcano of El Salvador, and we about can hardly go anymore. And what do? You sit down under a shade of a tree, and you drink some, let's say, cold water, and you have a little bit of honey along. And you take some honey. That's what our school teacher did one year that we went to. And he had a bottle of honey, to give him energy to keep on climbing the mountain, because we didn't want to carry him because he was a little heavy. So he needed to keep on plugging away. That's what comes to mind when I read this verse. Whenever times of refreshing, times of catching our breath come, I hope that this week can be like that. A time for us of refreshing. Hebrews 12:12 says, now I'm thinking about, does God want to give vivification? That's what my point was. Does God want? He says like this in Hebrews, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's what God wants. God wants us to lift up the hands that are hanging down. I don't know where your hands are. Are they hanging down? Are you raising your hands? Are you in a lot of energy? I don't know where you're at, but I need vivification. John 10, verse 10, Jesus is saying about the thief, that he cometh not to do but three things, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that they might have life. And he could have stopped there, but he went to add on to say, and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay? Somebody can be alive. Somebody can be breathing. Barely breathing. They're alive, right? Sure they are. They're immobilized. They can't do anything for themselves, but they're still alive. Jesus is saying, I want you to have life more than that. I want you to be able to have abundant life. And I think Brother Tim mentioned that already, that sometimes we're not finding satisfaction. I think, and we're looking for something different. I hope that we can find that abundant life that God wants to give to us. And Matthew, I couldn't help it but think of Matthew 12, where he says this verse there in verse 20, Matthew 12, 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. It reminds me of Jesus. There is life in you, Jesus wants to blow on you. If your life is just a flickering, smoky reed or flax, whatever he said there, Jesus wants to blow on it until you become a torch in the night. That's what we need. We need vivification. Now, for the letter I, what else do we need this week? That we need revival. And I find myself never running out of the need for this. The older I get, the more I realize, the more I need it. And this is it that I thought of. Is instruction. Have you learned everything that there's to be learned? Have you learned everything that there is to be learned? I don't think so. Revival meetings can be a time for instruction for us. And if you do a word search on instruction, and the Word of God is full of verses. I'm going to read you a few of them from Proverbs. Not long ago, I had a message about the fool despises instruction, or the prudent loves instruction. I think I had the title like that. But Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Proverbs 8, verse 10 says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Can you imagine? I'm guessing Solomon is the one that wrote this proverb. It says, the Bible says the gold was so abundant in his day. Silver was almost like gravel, I think he says. But it was so common, the silver. He had dump truck loads of silver, literally. I mean, they didn't have trucks. But they had tons of silver and gold in Solomon's. I was just fascinated to read in Chronicles and Kings wherever Solomon made this, the amount of gold that came to him. It was unbelievable. But you know what? Solomon is saying, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now that really comes close to my heart, because we are in America and there is potential for money making. What would I choose if I would have to choose one or the other? Which one would you choose? Would you choose knowledge or would you choose gold? The Bible is clear. Many times it said you should seek for wisdom above rubies. You should seek for wisdom above gold. And of course, here it is. Let's think about that. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Refuse not the instruction that we're going to hear this week. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. I hope we never think that we have learned everything. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. What else? Why does God want us to have revival? One other thing I thought of, why we need revival, is because God wants us to live in victory. We need victory. God has not called us to defeat. Brother Dwayne Eby had a message on Wednesday night at a mission meeting in Swatara. And the title was, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And brothers and sisters, I was convicted. There is nothing to be ashamed for Christ. So, God has called us to victory. I don't know if you make that connection with that, but Christ wants us to live in victory. Ephesians 6:13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You get a picture of a defeated soldier on that picture, on that verse? No, I don't. It says somebody that's going to fight, somebody is going to get hit. But you have a shield and you are able to stand. That's what God wants. God wants us to have victory at all cost. And I have preached this before already. And it comes close to my heart. Matthew chapter 5, there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if your eye is an occasion to fall, it would be better for you to lose it than to go to hell complete. And I have always interpreted those verses, and I still think that's what God, Jesus meant. Maybe you can add to it or you can correct me. But I believe that Christ is teaching you need victory at all cost. Whatever needs to happen to obtain victory, you need to do it. Whatever it is. 1 Corinthians 11:29. This probably should have been a verse for the number one or reflection, but I put it here just for the simple reason that we need victory. It says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? Because we haven't found victory. So I hope as we reflect, if you are there's an area in your life where you need victory, can you do anything that needs to happen to find victory? And of course, the biggest struggle for me is myself. I give you this quote, a mighty man is not the one that overcomes others, but that overcomes himself. And that's what I need. I need victory over my own self. That's what Christ said. If anyone wants to follow me, guess what you need to do? You need to die to yourself. The next one. What else do we need? Why do we need revival? Is that we need, and this, I might get in trouble with this word, explaining it, but I'm going to give it a shot. approximate.
Approximate means nearly correct or exact. We use the word whenever we say, well, how many dollars did it cost? Well, approximately $830, give or take. This close. That's why we use it. This word can mean close in value or amount, but not precise, just what I told you. But it also can mean to locate close together. As a verb, it means to come near or be close to. You think about proximity. Same family words there. We said, well, we live in the proximity of Benho Lake in comparison to the state of Georgia, right? We're close to it. So we say we are in Macon, so I'm going to approximate myself to Benho Lake Road and see if I can find it, or Benho Lake, and see if I can find the Dublin Mennonite Church. You get close to it. Does that make sense? I think it's more of a Spanish word, and you know why I chose that word? Because in James chapter 4, verse 8, gives us a command. It says, draw nigh unto God. And draw nigh doesn't start with a letter A. But the Spanish word does. It says, acercaos a Dios. In other words, come close to God. Approximate yourself to God. Come close to the proximity of God. We could have used approach or maybe some other words. But I hope that this week, this is one of the reasons why we need revival, is that we need to draw close to God. We need to approximate ourselves to God. Come close to Him. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you feel double-minded? I wasn't planning to make a comment on double-minded, but do you feel a mind for the world and a mind for Christ? I do sometimes. And there I am, indecisive in my heart, in my mind, which one do I need to follow? You know why? I need to draw close to God and purify my heart. I hope that this week can be drawing closer to God. John 12, verse 32, Jesus says like this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This, he says, signifying what death he should die. My point with these verses is Jesus is already draw nigh to us. He said he signified that he was going to be hung on the cross. What people in this earth doesn't know about the cross, at least the cross? There are some people that probably never heard of Jesus, never heard of the cross, but very few of them. God has revealed himself to us and he's drawing people to himself. What are you going to do? The response is on us. God is not going to force any of us to come near to him, but he is near. So we need to find him while he is near. Do you know what happens when we draw nigh to God? We make adjustments. Whenever we see the holiness of God, Moses was coming out there to the burning bush where God was. And you know what God told him? Stop. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Make adjustments. And I know Papa Sim has told you this because he flies a lot. But in the airplane, I couldn't stop but hear Papa Sim on the airplane. I mean, he wasn't there with me, but the plane kept making adjustments. And so I thought, Papa Sim, this plane is making adjustments. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia. I hope this guy knows where he's going because I need to get home. And he made adjustments to the point that whenever we came to Atlanta, we were fixing to land. All of a sudden, he's descending at very rapid speed. All of a sudden, just like a sinking feeling. I'm like, whoo, that felt funny. And all of a sudden, he's making all kind of adjustments and turns. And all of a sudden, he pitched the plane up and we're taking off again. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, we got a little tight on our approach and we're going to go for our second round. I'm like, whoo,
I hope he makes it on the second round. What happens if he don't make it on the second round? My point is, you make adjustment. The pilot was with a decision right there. Should I try to dive this plane onto the runway? I don't know how close it was. I don't understand. But all of a sudden, he made a decision. We need to go for a second round. And that's what we did. Do you get the point? Whenever we call, approximate ourselves to God, there will be adjustment that we need to make. Are you willing to say, well, let's adjust this? Am I about to the end? Revival? Yeah, I think I am.
One more. Okay. The last one. Why do we need to revival? We need to listen.
You remember Brother Edwin E.B. having a sermon here about he that has an ear, let him hear. And the picture that he gave, the mental picture I have of that is whenever he was up on the silo, and the salesman came down and he was looking for him. And he shouted at him so he could be heard. That's what God is doing. God is trying to catch our attention. What are you going to do? God is going to be speaking this week. Are you going to listen? Listen is to hear something with thoughtful attention. With thoughtful attention. You can hear a lot of things. But if you're not carefully putting attention to it, you're going to miss it. Give consideration to be alert to catch an expected sound. Yesterday I lost my phone. Thank the Lord I don't have the habit of losing my phone. And somebody had to call it. And I was all senses alert to see if I could hear where the sound was coming from. I was listening for a ringtone. There was nothing that was going to stop me from trying to listen because I needed to find it. Well, I hope, brother, sister, we can think this week. John 6:68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life. I confess to you, sometimes I don't realize that the word of God is eternal. I don't pay attention to it. I could sometimes listen to the word being read to me, you know, from an app on a phone, and I can be 1,000 miles away. I don't have a clue what that chapter said. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all need more faith. We all need, how does faith come? He said, by hearing the word of God. Matthew 13:23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. What are you going to do? Do you need revival this week? I do. So let's get ready. Let's get ready for this story. We need revival because we need to reflect. We need revival because things go downhill if we let them alone. We need revival because we need vivification. We need to be energized. We need to be revived. We need revival because we need instruction. And we need revival because we need victory. And we need revival because we need to draw close to God. And we need revival because we need to listen to what God has to say. May God add his blessing.